Hello everyone, thanks for tuning in to World News. 24 days into Israel's bloody war on Gaza, and the regime is relentlessly hammering fully blockaded strip from air, sea, and ground. Meantime, Palestinian media says resistance fighters have successfully ambushed Israeli tanks advancing in southern Gaza, inflicting serious damage and forcing them to draw back. Palestinian resistance movement Hamas says airstrikes on the enemy's front lines show the movement's ability to manage the war. Meantime, the regime's army says it struck 600 targets in the besieged territory in the past 24 hours. It's also ordered all 10 hospitals in Gaza to evacuate immediately. The Palestinian Red Crescent Society and the UN have warned against Israel's shelling near the Gaza City hospitals, where thousands are seeking shelter. More than 8,300 Palestinians have so far been killed since October 7th. Over 21,000 others have been injured by the Israeli regime. Al-Shifa Hospital is currently home to thousands of displaced Gazans who have taken shelter there after Israeli airstrikes leveled their homes. And now the regime has threatened and told the besieged territory's largest medical center to evacuate. But Palestinians insist that they will not leave.
Al-Shifa is the best and safest place for us, so we came here. Now the Israelis say that they will hit Al-Shifa. Whether they do this or not, this is what is normal for us now. The threats do not frighten us. Let them launch airstrikes as much as they want.
We want to die at Al-Shifa, despite all the threats and difficulties. We won't leave Al-Shifa. Where should we go? It is all the same death. We kneel only to God. We thank God for everything. May God bless us with martyrdom. We all sacrifice for Al-Quds, us, our women, children, and the elderly. We are all sacrificed for Al-Quds.
Threats do not frighten the people of Gaza, because we're a strong people. We have been steadfast all of our lives. We were born drinking salty water, and will do so now that there is no water. But we're steadfast in this land. We're not moving. They can slaughter, kill, do whatever they want, and we will stay here. We're not leaving. They, Israelis, want to displace us. But they're the ones who should leave. They're the ones who occupied us.
There are people here from all over Gaza who lost their homes. They are homeless now. There is nothing left. If they hit Al-Shifa, so let it be. We won't live here even if we are cut to pieces. We pray that these days pass. All those in Al-Shifa and in Gaza sacrifice for the resistance. Victory is coming, God willing.
Now, as we've been reporting for the past weeks, Gaza is suffering from a dire humanitarian crisis under Israeli attacks. The situation, in the words of the International Committee of the Red Cross, is worsening by the hour amid the regime's complete blockade of the Strip. And a handful of aid trucks allowed into Gaza through the Egypt border are nowhere near enough, as attested to by the UN Agency for Palestinian Refugees.
The system in place to allow aid into Gaza is geared to fail unless there is political will to make the flow of supplies meaningful, matching the unprecedented humanitarian needs.
In his address to the UN Security Council, the UNRWA chief warned basic services are crumbling while medicine, food, water, and fuel are running out in Gaza. He added that nowhere is safe from Israeli bombardment, not even south where the regime has been pushing people to go. UN commissioner said not even churches, mosques, hospitals, or UNRWA facilities sheltering the displaced have been spared. In conclusion, Lazzarini called on the UN Security Council to demand an immediate humanitarian ceasefire, which he described as a matter of life and death for millions of Gazans. A senior Hamas official says Israeli endeavor for a ground invasion against Gaza is a pretense to victory they have not achieved. Speaking at a press briefing in Beirut, Ghazi Hamad pointed out the Israeli forces have failed to make any achievements on the ground against Gaza.
I can see all the attempts of the Israeli occupation forces to invade Gaza or to enter the borders of Gaza failed.
And our brigades, Qassam brigades, highly prepared, and they successfully fought against the attempts of the occupation forces to invade Gaza, and they succeeded to cause them damages and big losses in Gaza Strip. I think this is kind that Israeli forces try to cover or try to give a picture or image to the Israeli public that they have made big victory in Gaza Strip, that they have did something against our resistance, our against Qassam brigades. But I can speak loudly that they failed and failed and failed to do anything in Gaza Strip. In addition to the situation in Gaza, I can see
Hamas top officials stress Operation Al-Aqsa Flood will culminate in victory for the resistance, and he called on Arab and Muslim states to cut all ties to the occupying regime. Ghazi Hamad also condemned the humanitarian catastrophe in Gaza, where nearly 900 families have been killed in Israeli strikes. The Hamas official said Israeli crimes against Palestinian women and children will not bring Tel Aviv any political or military achievement. Palestinian movement has dismissed a recent announcement by the Israeli regime regarding the release of an Israeli soldier during raids in Gaza. A Hamas official said claim aims to undermine the impact of this video that's shocked the Zionist community. Over 200 people were reportedly taken captive during Operation Al-Aqsa Flood, and that includes high-ranking Israeli military officials. Hamas already released 4 captives on humanitarian grounds, and it says 13 were killed in Israeli airstrikes on Gaza. The movement says it is ready to swap all the captives with 6,000 Palestinians held in the regime's prisons. In the West Bank, Israeli forces killed 6 more Palestinians in several areas. 4 of them were killed during an early morning raid on the Jenin refugee camp. A few hours later, Palestinian Health Ministry said another man was shot dead by Israeli forces in the town of Yatta, south of Al-Khalil, and elsewhere in Al-Quds, a 23-year-old was shot dead after stabbing an Israeli soldier. More than 120 Palestinians have been killed and over 1,600 others detained by Israeli forces since October 7th, and that's in the West Bank alone. That's when the regime launched its deadly war on the besieged Gaza Strip. Iran's deputy foreign minister warns Israel against continuing its deadly war on the besieged Gaza Strip. Ali Bagheri Kani said if the war does expand, there will be nothing left of Israel. Speaking in a TV interview, he hailed Operation Al-Aqsa Flood that was carried out by Hamas on October 7th. Bagheri Kani described it as a manifestation of the resistance front's intelligence and foresight. Iran deputy foreign minister likened the operation to an irreparable earthquake that hit Israel's security and military system. He also noted the U.S. is responsible for crimes committed by Israel due to its unwavering support for the regime. And Iran has warned of a prompt response to any threat of aggression. Iran's ambassador to the U.N. said that is Iran's inherent right under international law. Amir Said Iravani made the comments at the U.N. Security Council meeting on Syria. He said the illegal presence of U.S. forces in Syria is a source of insecurity in the country and has bolstered terror organizations both inside the Arab state and throughout the region. Iravani also strongly condemned the continuous Israeli attacks on Syrian territory. He said the raids mostly target civilians and vital infrastructure and are a serious threat to peace and security of the region. The Russian president has blamed the U.S. and its allies for Israel's massacre of Palestinians in Gaza, as well as many other deadly conflicts throughout the world.
Behind the tragedy of the Palestinians and behind the massacre in the Middle East in general, behind the conflict in Ukraine, behind many other conflicts in the world, in Afghanistan, Iraq, Syria, and so on, are the ruling elites of the United States and their satellites. This is already obvious to everyone.
Putin was delivering a televised statement to a meeting of Russia's Security Council and heads of law enforcement agencies. The Russian president added American politicians are opposed to a ceasefire in Gaza.
They don't want lasting peace. They want constant chaos in the Middle East. Therefore, they do their best to discredit those countries that insist on an immediate ceasefire in the Gaza Strip, on stopping the bloodshed, and are ready to make a real contribution to resolving the crisis and not feeding like parasites on it.
Putin denounced indiscriminate killing of Palestinians in Gaza as unjustified. He also called for the creation of sovereign and independent Palestinian state. A delegation that is from the National Security Committee of the Iranian Parliament meets with several bodies and institutions in Syria, as our correspondent reports.
Within Iranian Parliament's constant diplomatic efforts, a delegation from the National Security Committee of the Iran's Parliament met with the Syrian Parliament Speaker, the Ba'ath Party Associate Secretary, and Palestinian resistance factions.
Our meeting today was held in participation of representatives from Palestinian factions and a delegation from the National Security Committee in Iran's parliament. The latest field developments in the region, specifically in Gaza, were discussed.
The Iranian delegation confirmed that supporting Palestine is a profound strategic choice, and Iran will always support the resistance, emphasizing that Gaza is fighting for the nation and humanity.
We highly value the pivotal role of the Islamic Republic of Iran and affirm that our people, who are being slaughtered in Gaza, aspire to much greater action than what the Arab countries have undertaken, as they have been either incapable to act or complicit with the Zionist entity.
This message today conveys the firm solidarity of the Iranian people and the Islamic Republic of Iran with the Palestinian people's choices in resistance and the repulsion of the brutal aggression that targets schools and hospitals and kills children. Iran is practically rejecting Israeli aggression.
Mr. Hamouda Sabbagh, Speaker of the Syrian Parliament, confirmed that Palestine will always be Syria's guiding principle and central cause. While the Palestinian faction leaders expressed gratitude for Iran and Syria for their crucial role in defeating Israel and reiterated their unwavering loyalty for the resistance front.
The legislative Iranian delegation meets with the Palestinian resistance in Damascus, sending a message to the world that the besieged people in Gaza are not alone, and they will have all necessary support to withstand and defeat the Israeli aggression. Ibrahim Wahdi, Damascus.
People from all walks of life continue pro-Palestine demonstrations throughout the world, demanding end to Israeli bloodshed. Hundreds of children in Ladakh Union Territory of northern India thronged the streets condemning the regime's genocide and the killing of children in the besieged Gaza Strip. In the German capital, Berlin, protesters waved the Palestinian flag, calling for an immediate end to Israeli onslaught against civilians in Gaza. In Canada, thousands flooded the streets of Toronto, demanding a halt to Western funding for Tel Aviv. They also called for an end to Israeli genocide in Gaza. Similar rallies were also held in other cities throughout the world, including in Madrid, Beirut, and Islamabad. Demonstrators say the Western governments are complicit in Israel's war crimes in the Gaza Strip. Now, pro-Palestine rallies have also been held almost on a daily basis since Israel started its onslaught on Gaza. Demonstrations are being held despite bans on such protests in several European countries.
For the third Saturday in a row, pro-Palestine demonstrators packing the streets of central London to condemn the UK government's unequivocal support for Israel.
our government is cheering this on and it's supporting Israel to carry on with the massacre in Gaza. So we want to try and stop that.
I'm so ashamed of our government that they are sanctioning what I think is just collective murder. And it really, really has got to stop. It's awful.
They should be listening to the protesters and demanding that there's an immediate and complete ceasefire, that humanitarian aid is allowed through.
From Madrid to Milan and beyond, even in Germany, home to one of the largest Muslim communities in the EU, where such protests have been restricted over what was described as anti-Semitism concerns.
Despite government attempts to delegitimize it, support for Palestinians is on the rise, with hundreds of thousands of people taking to the streets of central London today to raise awareness of what's happening in Gaza and to express solidarity with the Palestinians.
Public pressure seems to be working. London's Labour mayor has become the latest politician to call for a ceasefire, breaking ranks with his party's leader, Keir Starmer, who said Israel reserved the right to cut all supplies to Gaza. 250 high-ranking lawyers have written an open letter to the government urging it to stop arming Israel.
And they are paying the taxes to kill our brothers, so it's unfair. It's completely unfair.
It should stop. We want ceasefire. We want talking, negotiating, but giving Palestine what it deserves, having been bullied for 50, 60, 70 years.
As the war on Gaza rages on, there is no sign of the emotions letting up or the demands that so many here are making for their leaders to find a political solution to the crisis. Saeed Porizza, London.
That's it for your latest here, everyone. Thanks for tuning in, and goodbye for now.
The bustle of life. The sound of living. Only sound will endure.
Hello.
IRIB English Radio.
Gaza, tiny strip as vast as mankind's future. It's for more than 7 years that Arab governments have closed their eyes on Gaza. We have no hopes on opening the blind eyes. You haven't done anything for us and you won't. However we pray, may Allah heal your blind eyes and soften your hearts. O people of the world, this message may be my last message. I give this message to you from beneath the fire and bombs. We are at Al-Shati camp. This message may be my last message. O people of the world, deliver our message to the world. Tell them that our women and children are being killed in front of our eyes on a daily basis. Right behind me, there is bombardment. But I swear to God that we aren't afraid of being bombed. We're being killed, yet we don't care. We take refuge in God, not from bombs, but from you. My tears are not out of fear, but out of shame. Being shameful of your weakness, shameful of the weakness of the Islamic Ummah. We take refuge to God from your indifference. Today, indifference means betrayal. We will never forgive you, never forgive you. God is sufficient for us. He is our best supporter. Hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakil. God is sufficient for us, and we will never bow to humiliation. History will tell Gaza fought alone, while 50 Arab and Islamic countries were just watching and did nothing. History will tell people of Gaza had no food, water, and medicine, but the world didn't care a fig, and that Arab countries, out of fear, weren't able to send humanitarian aid to them. History will tell, while leaders of Arab governments scrambled to normalize ties with the criminal regime of Israel, Gaza children had no power to breathe under the rubbles. They were hungry and they had no home to shelter them. History will tell, Gaza, which is a tiny land, being under complete siege for more than 17 years, brought to its knees an army which 21 Arab armies were afraid of. And history will tell, Gaza drew the path of the Islamic Ummah, stood steadfast on its stances, and didn't surrender to the occupying enemy and its allies. It's for more than 70 years that Arab governments have closed their eyes on Gaza. We have no hopes on opening the blind eyes. You haven't done anything for us and you won't. However, we pray, make God heal your blind eyes and soften your hearts. You're sleeping so deeply that even the biggest crimes were not able to wake you up. It's for 75 years that Zionists have committed these crimes with the support of the US and the UK. They have destroyed our houses and have expelled us from our homeland. Zionists have taken captive our boys and girls, our youth and the elderly, or they have murdered them. They even didn't and don't have mercy on Palestinian refugee camps. 75 years ago, when Zionists invaded the Yassin village in Beit al-Muqaddas from three sides and shot and killed all the villagers in cold blood and burnt their bodies while you were asleep. 41 years ago, when Zionists brutally massacred 2,000 innocent people, including women and children, young and the elderly in Sabra and Shatila, again, your eyes were closed. You were asleep when young little boys were being shot. When Zionists and their allies cut open the pregnant women's belly and took their fetus out and cut them into pieces, you were asleep. When we lost our whole family members while we were only a child and we never met them again, you were asleep. When Zionists placed mines under the dead bodies so that no one could dare to lift them, you were asleep yet again. So how can one expect the recent Gaza bombings make you wake up? The story that is happening in Gaza these days is the same story for you, which might deepen your sleep rather than wake you up. I just wanted to know if you could sleep the night these calamities would be brought to you. Zionists claim to possess the world and everything in it, whether animate or inanimate. They feel as if these properties are lent to you by them just for a few days. And so they recognize the right to take back what they have claimed to have lent you in any way possible. They have even such assumptions about you. In their view, you or anybody who is not a Zionist is not basically a human. Rather, he is an animal in form of a human who must serve Jews only. In the Zionist view, you are all slaves, who after the advent of the Jews' savior would get back to your original status, that is, slavery for the Jews. It's for years that they read such beliefs from their distorted holy book and teach them to their children. We, under shell and fire, warn you. If you don't wake up, if today's story of Gaza doesn't soften your hearts and don't take a sleep away from your eyes, if you don't do anything for saving Gaza, undoubtedly, tomorrow would be your turn to be bombed, plundered, and occupied. Believe that this bloodthirsty child killer tribe is a descendant of God's prophet. The God who is merciful and is more kind to his servants than their mother, and a prophet who said in his famous 10 commandments, "You shall have no other God before me. Honor your father and mother. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not steal, and you shall not covet," which means do not want something that belongs to someone else. Judaism, at the initial days of the start of its prophet's mission, was affected by distortion and treachery. Prophet Moses departed to Mount Sinai and stayed there for 40 days and nights by God's command. In his absence, the Jews forgot God and all his prophets' teachings and started worshipping a calf. Now, after 3,000 years from Prophet Moses' passing, what can we expect from Jews? Can we say that the tribe, which only acknowledges itself as human and assumes the whole world and what is inside it as property inherited by their fathers, are followers of Prophet Moses? Can a tribe who authorizes any crime, including murder and looting, in order to exploit the world, be follower of a prophet who said, "Do not want something that belongs to someone else"? No, I swear to God that Zionists do not know God and his prophet. Zionists even don't know something as humanity. They don't know moralities, nor do they have something as affection in them. They are the ones that God has said about them in the Noble Quran. Those are like livestock. Rather, they are more astray. Gaza is a tiny strip which has just a total land area of about 360 square kilometers and is under siege for 17 years. However, it will never surrender to the avarice of the deviant and bloodthirsty enemy. Gaza is standing solely against a dragon who intends to swallow the whole world. Today, the body of Gaza is full of scars. But the only things that come to your mind about Gaza are zeal, courage, and bravery of its people. Our children, like little angels, fly to the sky every day. They have tasted death rather than life, and they are paying the price of your sleeping eyes. We will never forgive you, never forgive you. We will take our complaint to God, who is the just ruler and is sufficient for us. History will tell, Gaza fought alone. History will tell, Gaza fought not just for itself, but also for saving the world while the world was asleep in negligence. History will tell, Gaza brought to its knees an army which no one dared to confront. And history will tell, Palestine was liberated by those who had nothing. No food, no water, not even a piece of cloth for shrouding their martyrs.
IRIB English Radio presents Viewpoints.
Viewpoints.
With the presence of different scholars.
The presence of different scholars. IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners. Welcome back to IRIB English Radio. You're listening to the program Viewpoint. I am Beta, and once again, I have the chance and opportunity to be at your service as the host of today's episode. And here with me, there are two dear guest speakers, Brother Ali and Sheikh Rouhani. Assalamu alaikum. Welcome back.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Okay, dear listeners, before going through the topic of today's episode, you can listen to more episodes by checking parstoday.ir, page Call of Islam. So, as we know, almost 2 weeks have passed since the large-scale attacks of the Israel against the people of Gaza and the destruction of this infrastructure of this region. These crimes have met with widespread reactions and condemnations from the countries and people from all around the world. And unfortunately, there was a deadly violent attack on the hospital in Gaza, which it was really hurting for all of, especially for the care providers in different countries. And even us as students of medicine, we were actually going to the street to share support for the people, the innocent people and women of Gaza. And putting this news aside, as we all know, this matter of Gaza and Israel is again at the top of news, which is not a new thing. And as we all know, there is a long, long history. All the stories that we hear in the rumors, more specifically, are fake. In order to actually make this image in your mind that this Palestinian people is not fighting for their own right, but the reality is something else when we go and dig through it. But another thing that we're going to discuss in this episode is that if we have this responsibility to go for these Palestinian people, one of the ways is deleting and omitting this Israel. But Israel is way more powerful and way more, it has more supporters than what we think, like half of the world. And it's a bit difficult and maybe ambitious to think that we can delete and we can destroy this power of today's world. So we have to seek for another ways, or is there any way to be that strong to defeat them? So what should we do, I mean, at the end of the day?
Of course, you know, first of all, we know that every nation in this world, they have the right to defend themselves.
Yeah.
According to the international law, international legal system that we have, every country, every nation have this right. Based on this right, United States attacked Iraq, attacked Saddam Hussein, and completely removed Saddam Hussein from power by this excuse that they have the weapon of mass destruction. But at the end of the day, though, these kind of weaponries were not found. But the Saddam Hussein's regime was completely toppled down and over, and was over by the Allied forces in Iraq. By this kind of principle, United States and NATO attacked Afghanistan. and remove the Taliban from the power because of supporting Al-Qaeda and because of the Twin Towers. So what was the main principle for them? It was this principle that rights of defend ourselves. Now, the double standard in the world is really, really interesting, which is they do not give this right to the nation of Palestine to defend themselves, you know. So if you remove Saddam Hussein from the power by this excuse that they use the weapons of mass destruction, let's see what's going on in Palestine. The Israeli regime did not use weapons of mass destruction. There are lots of evidences, pieces of evidences are there. They attacked a hospital. Thousands of people, innocent civilians, were killed by these weaponries. So now, chemical weaponries are used there. So genocide is there. All these crimes against humanity is happening there right now in the presence of all the powers in the world.
Yeah.
But if you see, look at the double standard. One nation should be attacked. One power should be removed completely from the power because of this excuse. But the other nation, even they do not have right to defend themselves. If they are attacked by these weaponries, their hospitals, their schools, universities, seminaries, all these, let's say, sports centers, educational centers, you know, health centers, all of these things are being destroyed. But they are termed as terrorists. The oppressed people... The oppressed people of Palestine, not only they do not have the right to defend themselves, they should be termed as terrorists. This is a double standard in our world. And the second point is, the problem is with the ideas, with the beliefs of the Jews. First, they dehumanize the other nation. They say that you are not human. Very explicitly it's termed there, that the other nations are not human. So that's why you do not deserve to be treated as human.
Yeah.
You should be treated as animals. Animals are in our service. You people of Palestine and the other nations are also like that. That's why, unfortunately, by this kind of idea, by this kind of mentality that these people have, they look at the other nations, the other people as their servants, as like animals, like camels, like donkeys. I'm sorry that I'm terming this because you can find these kind of ideas in their minds.
Okay.
But that is why you see that they very... very, very, what we can say explicitly, say to the people of Palestine that you are not human. We can do whatever we want. If you kill your children, if you kill your babies, if you kill your innocent civilians, because you're not a human being. You're animals.
Yeah.
You can be removed and eliminated from the world. It is not only the issue of Palestine. Palestinian people, maybe at the end of the day, they will decide to remove nation by nation. Because all human beings, according to them, are like this. So what? How can the other nation compromise with this kind of situation, with this kind of power or government? How can you live peacefully with these kind of people? If they treat you as not as a human, as animals.
Yeah.
It's really difficult. It's really impossible.
So the things that you described, Sheikh, was really of a big sorrow for everyone to see such a nation, to have this ideology, this harsh ideology of being superior towards all the people. But the question here remains that, what should we do? Yeah, Brother Ali.
What should we do?
Yeah, what should we do? Okay. What is our responsibility? We cannot omit this nation if we don't have the power, maybe. Or maybe we have, I'm not sure.
Yeah,
this is you who... have to answer this question.
I think one of the, again, rumors or let's say misconceptions that is being made, that and that is purposely to, again, deviate the attention of the world and the inhabitants of the earth, that Israel is a very powerful entity or a very powerful government in the world. But the reality is not like this. We have lots of evidences to prove that. The 33-day war with Hezbollah in Lebanon showed that they don't have that power that they are talking about. The different 5-day, 20-day wars with Hezbollah and Hamas, with Hamas and Islamic Jihad showed that they are not that powerful, that they don't have that security that they are talking about. It means that they can be penetrated very easily. I mean, even the raiders and the weaponry that they are talking about, that they are among the first five, let's say, army of the world, it's not true, because we have seen that it has been penetrated and it has defeated for a couple of times for a very small group of militia like Hezbollah or even Hamas.
Yeah,
and now the defeat that they actually experienced recently. You see, if they are a very, let's say, a huge army and with that well-equipped army, so how can they lose more than almost 2,000, more than 2,000, I don't know, dead and injury? So it means that they are not that strong that they are saying, I mean, that the people are saying, or I don't know, the media are saying, they want just to enlarge it in the eyes of the
yeah,
people.
I get it.
And this is, again, the scheme of the Satan to enlarge
the power
of this, I don't know, forge and usurping entity and government in the eyes of the Muslims.
Yeah.
We have seen that they have been defeated in lots of the time. Look, if I want to explain the battlefield today, it is like, I don't know, a person, a group of people are restricted and are restricted from cement walls in their own land, and they have only, I mean, a kind of look towards the sky and nothing else. I mean, they cannot exit from that wall to another place. So when you have restricted them that much, but they are able to take lots of injuries or death from you. So if you are that strong, so how? I mean, there was no way for them to receive any weapon from outside. If those who are familiar, if the respected listeners are familiar with the geography of the Israel plan, it's quite clear that some areas are totally restricted and no one even can enter these lands. So how come, if they are that powerful, so how is it possible? I mean, that they have been disabled, disarmed. I mean, they have been disabled in the last days from the pressure that Hamas or Islamic Jihad had put on them. No, it's not that. I mean, they are not that strong and, let's say, they are not that strong and not that powerful that it is being said, as Sayyid Hassan Nasrallah said, "Na'uhna al-Boot, la-Bayt al-Ankabut," and their houses are even, their houses are fragile as the houses of the spiders. I want to say that they are not that strong, and they have been defeated a lot. I mean, from the viewpoint of cyberspace, from the viewpoint of, I don't know, battlefield and the war in the battle. But one that shows the weakness of this army is the way that they treated the Gaza people. Look, they are killing, they are massacring the civilians. So it means that they are that much unable to kill the militia or those who are in the war, in the battlefield. Rather, they go to kill the ordinary people and the innocent people. So it is out of this weakness and this is out of this wretchedness that they reach to. So it means that they are more, they are too weaker than what we imagine.
Yeah, I get it. Thank you, Brother Ali, for explanation about this matter. And thank you, Sheikh Rouhani, for being here with us and sharing your point of view. And I think it takes lots of time, hours and hours of speaking and discussion to discuss more about Palestine and the responsibility of the Islamic Ummah for this country and for this nation. And unfortunately, in these 24 minutes that we have in our program, I think we cannot dig that deeply into this topic. And I leave it to you, our dear listeners, to go and think and dig more into this important matter and responsibility and every individual's shoulder, especially Muslim people. So thank you, dear listeners, for listening to us. It was all the time we had for today's episode. I bid you farewell. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alaikum.
Shining bright, you came to us with a heart so full of love, and you showed that you're the one who cares the most, and to us you've always been so close. Everyone will say, please save me, accept al-Habib. Ummati, Ummati, يقولها لنا يوم القيامة. Ummati, Ummati, يقولها شفاعة أنا لها.
Follow us on social media to stay up to date on the latest global developments. You can keep in touch with us by following us on Twitter at twitter.com/ParsTodayEN. You can also follow IRIB English Radio on Instagram via instagram.com/ParsTodayEnglish.
In the limelight.
Doctors treating British sick children warn their health problems are getting worse as record numbers wait up to 18 months for NHS care. In this regard, we have taken a look at some world press and news agencies to shed more light on the issue. Please stay with us. The Guardian Daily reports, according to leading independent experts, the UK National Health Service, NHS, is heading into an unprecedented financial crisis and will overspend its budget by at least £7 billion next year as the effects of inflation and strikes plunge hospitals' trust into alarming levels of debt. The problem of soaring deficits is hitting a growing number of trusts across England ahead of a likely general election within 12 months and will raise further serious doubts about Prime Minister Rishi Sunak's chances of meeting his pledge to cut record waiting list. In a sign of the extreme pressures, the Manchester Integrated Care System, bringing together Trust and other healthcare providers in Greater Manchester, has brought in Stephen Hay, a troubleshooter from PricewaterhouseCoopers, who formerly worked in the NHS, to help sort out its disastrous financial position. According to the health service journal, NHS Greater Manchester has reported a deficit of £125 million after the first 4 months of 2023 to 2024, more than £100 million worse than planned. Insiders say they expect the dire state of trust finances to be high on the agenda at a meeting of NHS England's board on October 5th. While inflation and strike costs have worsened the situation, the descent into debt is also traced back to years of pre-COVID austerity. It comes as ministers are trying to claw back extra money that they pumped in during the pandemic to deal with the emergency situation. Sally Gainsbury, senior policy analyst at the Nuffield Trust, one of the leading authorities on NHS finance, said the English NHS faces an almost impossible struggle to balance its books and cover the cost of care this financial year as a result of the government's desire to squeeze its budget back down to the levels expected before extra spending during COVID. Gainsbury added official figures suggest the service was already on track by the end of May to overspend its budget this year by around £2 billion. That figure may well worsen throughout the rest of the year as the cost of covering striking doctors at premium rates ratchets up. In addition, the NHS as a whole is currently looking at a budget for next year which is some £7 billion smaller than its current rate of spending. In a further escalation of NHS woes, in coming days, we will see the first joint strike by junior doctors and consultants, with resulting extra cost of employing agency workers to cover and loss of income from cancelled operations. Consultants in England will be striking, meaning emergency services will continue, but elective surgery will be hit. Junior doctors joined the strike on Wednesday, September 21st. Siva Anadavicha, chief analyst at the King's Fund, said, "The NHS finance directors I speak to are deeply concerned about how quickly their financial position is deteriorating." She said, "Financial deficits in the NHS have real consequences for the care we receive. As pressures mount, NHS providers are faced with decisions like leaving staffing vacancies unfilled or cutting back on plans to improve how services are delivered. And as hard as it is to believe, it is likely that 2024 to 2025 will be even worse, as the number of people requiring care and treatment continues to increase while funding growth starts to slow." He added, "It is equally hard to believe that in an election year, the NHS will be allowed to hit the buffers. Much of the pressure on the funding has come from the estimated £3.9 billion bill for the 5.5% average pay rises awarded recently to NHS staff. The Department of Health and Social Care was only funded by the Treasury for part of this, so we'll have to make budget cuts or ask for more." Saffron Cordy, Deputy Chief Executive of NHS Providers, said it will be vital that the strikes ended soon before more damage was done. He added, "There is a danger that industrial action becomes part of trust business as usual. Not only does this underplay the growing the impact on patients and staff, it also makes the severity of the mounting financial challenges that the NHS is now facing." Julian Kelly, the Deputy Chief Executive and Finance Chief of NHS England, has issued public warnings at several board meetings about the grim financial outlook facing the service this year, and in 2024 to 2025 and said that it may have to cut planned funding of key areas of care as a result. Last October, Kelly, a former senior Treasury civil servant, warned that in the next few years, the NHS could have to completely revisit investment in cancer, mental health, and diagnostic services. He blamed high inflation for wrecking NHS financial planning. NHS England has also agreed to make unprecedented efficiency savings in return for budget increases from the Treasury. The Institute for Fiscal Studies said last year that the NHS was facing a small real terms budget cuts in 2023 to 2024 and 2024 to 2025, partly because of inflation, but also because its current funding settlement was front-loaded to give it more money early on to help it cope with burdens imposed by COVID. The financial think tank points out that if those cuts happened, it would be the first time since the early 1950s that the NHS had faced two successive years of real terms cuts to its income. Ben Zoranka, senior research economist at the IFS, said, "In the absence of additional funding or a sharp lowering of inflation and cost pressures, the NHS will be asked to do more with less." Meanwhile, the Daily Mail writes doctors treating British sick children warn their health problems are getting worse as record numbers wait up to 18 months for NHS care. The number of under 18th on the waiting list for paediatric care in England has soared to 423,500, the highest on record. Of those, 23,396 have been forced to wait over a year for their appointment. Delays facing children and young people are now so common that Dr. Janet Dixon, the chair of the Academy of Medical Royal Colleges, the body representing all UK doctors professionally, warned that children are the forgotten casualties of the NHS waiting list crisis. Fewer than three-fifths, 57% of children are now seen within 18 weeks, even though NHS treatment targets say that 92% should be. The number on the waiting list has jumped by 52% since 2021.
Iranian news, Iranian culture, Iranian voice. This is IRIB English Radio. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.
day 25 of Israel's war on Gaza. Palestinian officials say the regime dropped more than 18,000 tons of explosives on the territory. Meanwhile, the UN warns aid system for Gaza is geared to fail as convoys entering the territory cannot meet its unprecedented humanitarian needs. And Russia blames U.S. and its allies for Israel's massacre of Palestinians in the Gaza Strip, saying that American politicians are opposed to a ceasefire.